VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going to, we've got a very full program today. Not only will we have some discussion here on the Pence-Harris debate of last evening, but also combining it with a news roundup for the week as well. A lot of information, so we hope you'll stay tuned for the broadcast. We'll look forward to hearing from you just a little bit later on the program. Well, during the debate last night, Daily Signal reporting that Senator Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence sparred over a variety of policies, revealing significant differences on several issues. Some of the main issues of debate, COVID-19, Harris attacked the Trump administration's handling of this, saying the American people have witnessed what is the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country. And she said, here are the facts, 210,000 dead people in our country, over 7 million have contracted the virus, etc. Pence, who headed the coronavirus task force, defended the record, saying, I want the American people to know that from the very first day, President Donald Trump has put the health of America first. Before there was more than five cases in the U.S., all people who had returned from China, President Donald Trump did what no other American has ever done. That was, he suspended all travel from China, the second largest economy in the world. And then he added, Joe Biden opposed that decision. He said it was xenophobic and hysterical. Well, and then in regard to a vaccine, Harris said that she would not trust a Trump-endorsed vaccine. And Vice President Pence said the fact that you continue to undermine public confidence in a vaccine, if a vaccine emerges during the Trump administration, I think it's unconscionable, and asked her to stop playing politics. They talked about taxes in the economy and debated the Biden tax plan. One of the things Joe Biden has said is that he would repeal the Trump tax cuts. And this is such that gave the average working family $2,000 with a tax break. And Kamala Harris said no lower income families would not be subject to the tax plan that they had. However, they said that they will repeal the Trump tax cuts. Climate change and fracking was another big issue there, as Harris said that the Biden administration would grow the economy through green energy, but she also denied past support for banning fracking. Just going to play a couple audio clips as it relates to what she has said, and then also multiplicity of clips from Joe Biden. Here's Kamala Harris.
My family lives in western Pennsylvania, where fracked gas wells have
this is a question to her.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
Okay, no question. Yeah. That's Kamala Harris. No question about it whatsoever. And what about Joe Biden?
No more, no new fracking. We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping...
Yes. Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate.
No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. Ends. Number one.
Three consecutive American presidents have enjoyed stints of explosive economic growth due to a boom in oil and natural gas production. As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers, in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, well, things go on there, but a collage. So that whole matter of fracking, well, it shouldn't really be a matter of debate or denial. Kamala Harris shaking her head no when the vice president was speaking last night, that saying that they would ban fracking and seemed to distance herself from the Green New Deal, even though she's one of the co-sponsors of the Green New Deal. They dealt with China issues last night as well, and the Supreme Court and that of abortion. Now, keep in mind that Harris has previously said, Senator Harris, I will always fight for a woman's right to make a decision about her own body. And Vice President Mike Pence also spoke on that issue. He's not ashamed to be called pro-life. Let's listen in on this, Mike Pence's response.
Well, thank you, Susan. But let me just say, addressing your very first question, I couldn't be more proud to serve as vice president to a president who stands without apology for the sanctity of human life. I'm pro-life. I don't apologize for it. And this is another one of those cases where there's such a dramatic contrast. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris support taxpayer funding of abortion all the way up to the moment of birth. Mm-hmm. Late-term abortion. They want to increase funding to Planned Parenthood of America. Now, for our part, I would never presume how Judge Amy Coney Barrett would rule on the Supreme Court of the United States, but we'll continue to stand strong for the right to life.
Okay, I made it very clear his belief in the right to life there. And as he's talking, Kamala Harris is shaking her head no, like you're saying falsehoods, Mike Pence, but that's exactly where they have stood in their positions. Matter of fact, here's Joe Biden, former vice president.
I knew whenever I was graduating high school and entering college that I wanted to obtain my degree and start a career before starting a family. Having access to birth control and safe reproductive health care was imperative in making that true for me. So considering the new Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, what are your particular plans to protect women's reproductive rights in the U.S.?
Number one, we don't know exactly what she will do, although the expectation is that she may very well move to overrule Roe. But the only responsible response to that would be to pass legislation making Roe the law of the land. That's what I would do.
Okay, that's what he would do. He would make Roe the law of the land. A very significant difference between the two candidates in that regard. Also, the whole matter of will you accept the outcome of the 2020 elections and so forth. And Mike Pence responded to that because President Trump has been ridiculed for his response on that issue. And Mike Pence suggested the Democrats will not accept the outcome of the 2020 election. He mentioned that they've been trying for years to overturn the 2016 election results. There was another issue that came up last night. Here's Washington Examiner. Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Kamala Harris claimed that President Trump called the coronavirus a hoax in the early months of the pandemic. Now, his full quote was in regard to the Democratic leader's response to the coronavirus, not the virus itself. Washington Examiner has the quote, which is this. Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus, Trump said during a campaign rally. You know what? You know that, right? Coronavirus, they're politicizing it. After bringing up the Russia investigation and the House impeachment proceedings, he said, they tried the impeachment hoax. And this is their new hoax. And so talking about the politicization of coronavirus. Also, everybody got a history lesson last night. Did you hear what Kamala Harris had to say about Abraham Lincoln? That he took the high road and honest Abe told the truth about not nominating a person to Supreme Court? Yeah, Kamala Harris last night, and here's from Western Journal saying it's a rewriting of history because the question is, are you and Joe Biden going to pack the court? This is the Vice President Mike Pence asking if Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed. And Pence pressed Harris on that issue, which she never answered the question. She has refused. Former Vice President Biden had refused to answer the court packing question as well. But Harris then tried to make an argument that in October of 1864, President Abraham Lincoln would not choose a nominee for the Chief Justice Roger Taney because with a national election approaching in the midst of the Civil War, she said, Honest Abe said it's not the right thing to do. The American people deserve to make the decision about who will be the next president of the United States, and then that person can select who will serve for a lifetime on the highest court of our land, Harris said. But as Dan McLaughlin pointed out in National Review last night, that's not how it happened at all. Lincoln did not send a nominee to the Senate in October of 1864. That much is true. That's because the Senate was out of session. The Senate was out of session in 1864 until December of that election year. So Lincoln was forced to wait to nominate a successor for Taney. Salmon Chase was nominated to replace Taney on December 6, 1864, confirmed by the Senate just 9 days later. December 15th, 1864, according to the Supreme Court Historical Society. So it was not that Lincoln refused to nominate a Supreme Court justice. The Senate's schedule and practical politics in the midst of the carnage of the Civil War dictated his action. The Senate was not in session. Lincoln's priority, he said, was winning the election was necessary to win the war, and he filled the vacancy at the first possible instant. Harris left out all of that pertinent information when not tackling the question about packing the court. So very interesting matters falling out from the debate last night. Lord willing, we'll have time for you to weigh in on these issues as well. By the way, as well, the attacks coming from Michelle Obama, calling President Donald Trump racist, defending the Black Lives Matter rioting, saying only a tiny fraction is violent. Listen in.
They're stoking fears about black and brown Americans, lying about how minorities will destroy the suburbs, whipping up violence and intimidation. And they're pinning it all on what's been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement for racial solidarity. It's true. Research backs it up. Only a tiny fraction of demonstrations have had any violence at all. So what the president is doing is once again patently false. It's morally wrong. And yes, it is racist. But that doesn't mean it won't work. Because this is a difficult time, a confusing time. And when people hear these lies and crazy conspiracies repeated over and over and over again, they don't know what to think. With everything going on in their lives, they don't have time to fact-check falsehoods being spread throughout the internet. And even reasonable people might get scared. And the one thing this president is really, really good at is using fear and confusion and spreading lies to win.
Michelle Obama speaking out calling President Donald Trump a racist and stoking fear, and also mostly peaceful protests taking place. Well, those mostly peaceful protests was reported just a couple weeks ago, over $1 billion in damages. Over $1 billion in damages, setting a new record for the cost of rioting here across the United States. By the way, there's another issue that is stoking right now. As you know, many have questioned the mental health of Joseph Biden. Well, that question now being turned against President Donald Trump. FoxNews.com reporting that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made a dramatic announcement during her weekly press conference today by telling reporters that she intends to discuss a constitutional measure to remove President Trump from office following questions regarding the president's health as he recovers from coronavirus. The 25th Amendment allows for the vice president to become acting president if it's determined that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of the office. And here's what Nancy Pelosi said. She said, tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow, come here tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment. We'll be talking about the 25th Amendment. Folks, we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, some lakes are shrinking in size. What's causing this?
Chris, the Earth's average temperature has been rising over these past few years. But is this a long-term trend? We know that over the decades, the average temperature has gone both up and down, so we wonder what's next. The current warming trend, however, has caused an increase in evaporation from some inland lakes. One lake is in the Middle East. The salty Aral Sea has shrunk dramatically, exposing a several-mile-wide salt beach. This has even affected the search for Noah's Ark. Salt has been picked up by the wind and blown all over the Middle East, including the glacier on Mount Ararat, causing it to melt quite a bit. Inland lakes are by and large leftovers from Noah's flood and the ice age which came after it. How much longer will they last? We'll have to wait and see. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the Pence-Harris debate, as well as the news roundup day here today, combining both of these issues into one broadcast. And again, Nancy Pelosi tomorrow. Speaker Pelosi saying, come back tomorrow. We'll be talking about the 25th Amendment. Friends, do you know what the 25th Amendment says? There are four sections in here about the removal of a president and about when the vice president, a majority of principal officers of the executive departments deem that the president is no longer able to function, unable to discharge the powers or the duties of the office, that the vice president would immediately assume the powers and duties of the acting president. That's in the 25th Amendment. It was passed, adopted in 1965. So many of these issues that are coming up relate directly to the Constitution, and if you don't have a Constitution in your home or have access to one, how will you know whether what they're saying is true or not? Just a reminder, we've got a quantity that just came in the other day, a quantity of documents of freedom that we make available through Crosstalk. It includes the Declaration of Independence, the signers of the Declaration, the Constitution, the signers of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Constitutional Amendments, and Washington's farewell address in this pocket-sized booklet that we make available for just a donation of $5 that covers the shipping as well, directly to you. It is all included in a pocket-sized booklet and available here at vcyamerica.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. President Trump said, they're talking about the next debate being virtual, and President Trump said it's a waste of time. And he said, I'm not going to waste my time with a virtual debate that remains way up in the air for this coming week as well. By the way, breaking news in the state of Wisconsin. A federal appeals court just ruled today blocking a decision to extend the deadline for counting absentee ballots in Battleground, Wisconsin. If the ruling stands, absentee ballots will have to be delivered to Wisconsin election clerks by 8 p.m. on Election Day if they are to be counted. We can't stress over and over again enough the fact that if you're voting by absentee, get your ballot returned, and usually the safest way is sending it to one of the drop-off sites for collecting the ballots. But especially in light of what's happening in a lot of the mail service right now, troubling news there as well. But nonetheless, the court has blocked the extension of the Wisconsin absentee ballot deadline. That's news as of today. Also, here's news coming from WND.com. Lost in the reporting of the World Health Organization's new estimate that about 760 million people, more than 20 times the confirmed cases, have been infected by the coronavirus worldwide is the impact on the estimated survival rate. If indeed 760 million have been infected at some point during the outbreak and the number of confirmed deaths is about 1 million, the infection fatality rate is only 0.1%. Yeah, just a little bit more than 0.1%, which is the World Health Organization says is the rate for the seasonal flu. The WHO's estimate in March of a death rate of 3-4% sparked panic worldwide. A rate of 3-4% is more than 26 times higher than this 0.13%. Associated Press reported Monday that Dr. Michael Ryan, speaking to a special session of WHO's COVID-19 board, said the figures vary from urban to rural areas, saying our current best estimates tell us about 10% of the global population may have been infected by this virus. WHO spokeswoman Dr. Margaret Harris said that 10% estimate is based on an average of antibody studies conducted around the world. Interesting indeed. Also, from Front Page Health, WND.com, leading epidemiologists have launched a petition calling for an end to lockdowns of the healthy and instead focus on protecting the people who are vulnerable to the coronavirus. The Great Barrington Declaration states that as infectious disease epidemiologist and public health scientist, we have grave concerns about the damaging physical and mental health impacts of the prevailing COVID-19 policies and recommend an approach we call focus protection. Ladies and gentlemen, according here to LifeSiteNews.com, more than 9,000 medical professionals, 9,000 have signed a declaration that recommends fighting the virus using an approach called this focus protection. It's called the Great Barrington Declaration, and the signers argue that the most compassionate approach that balances the risk and benefits of reaching herd immunity is to allow those who are at minimal risk of death to live their lives normally, to build up immunity to the virus through natural infection, while better protecting those who are at higher risk. We call this focused protection. Very interesting indeed, as they report more than 9,000 medical professionals have signed on to this. President Trump also tweeting out that Nancy Pelosi is not negotiating in good faith, and so therefore the COVID-19 relief talks are on halt until after the election. He's still seeking to have some components of that to be adopted. Let's see, also very interesting story came out from FaithWire. The governor's office from the state of California released a statement about mask wearing, highlighting the extreme measures that governments are taking allegedly to fight COVID-19. The statement released via the governor's official Twitter account urges citizens to keep your mask on in between bites while dining. The state even had a graphic created to illustrate the point. So you take your fork, you put your food into your mouth, you put your mask back on, you chew the food, you take the mask off, put your food in, put the mask back on. Folks, it is ridiculous what is being proposed here. Daily Wire, Governor Whitmer of Michigan, she's moving forward with new mandates now. Now, she was just struck down by the Michigan Supreme Court, struck down her emergency powers, saying you don't have the authority to continue them. And she's thumbing her nose at the Supreme Court, said that the new orders are based on authority given to the governor during the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, which was not challenged in the court decision. Bernie Sanders, according to DailyWire.com, will likely be rewarded for his allegiance if Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden wins November election. Speaking to a crowd of Democrats, Sanders, who is a primary champion of Medicare for All-style health care, told the crowd that he'd be the chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Health. By the way, white Christians are being blamed for the wildfires in California. Did you know that? Jerry Newcomb, from Coral Ridge Ministries, in his column, California, Oregon, Washington are burning. It's all the fault of white Christians, says a professor at Oregon State University. CampusReform.com reports October 2nd that Susan Shaw, professor of women, gender, and sexuality studies at Oregon State University, claims that the intensity and scope of these fires are a result of climate change, and noting that many Christians, especially white Christians, have embraced denial of climate science. And even though the Trump administration has tried to roll back more than 100 environmental protection regulations, the president has responded to these issues, even in the recent debate, saying he wants crystal clean water, wants beautiful clean air, and talks about the lack of forest management going on in the state of California. But here we now have a professor blaming white Christians for the wildfires. Because you're science denied. I'll tell you what science denial is. Science denial is when you take the innocent life of a baby in the womb, not calling it a baby, calling it a product of conception, and denying that life begins at conception. That is science denial. By the way, again, it's been reported, Newsmax.com, that if Biden wins the election, he'll make both Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico states. Interesting, though, Newsmax reporting that the governor of Puerto Rico is coming out endorsing Donald Trump. Also, over the weekend, the National Latino Police Officers Association advocacy publicly endorsed President Donald Trump. That's right, the Latino Peace Officers Association. Let's see. Also, we have... the Jewish community being targeted by Governor Cuomo. He used a 14-year-old photo of a Jewish gathering to target them for recent problem gatherings in New York, lecturing his fellow New Yorkers about how dangerous religious gatherings are in particular. Governor Cuomo used a 14-year-old photo to deceptively claim that Jewish community has been skirting mask mandates in recent weeks. He argued during a Monday news conference, religious institutions have been a problem during the coronavirus pandemic, claiming the 2006 photo of Jewish mourners is proof proof that the community has been troublesome in the recent past. Confusion came as the governor announced that he's prepared to shutter synagogues in New York City if Jewish congregants don't comply with the state and city's pandemic mandates. As FoxNews.com reports, Orthodox Jewish protesters gathered in Brooklyn Tuesday night, burning masks and accusing the mayor and the governor of New York, using them as scapegoats for the recent spike in COVID-19 infections. Protesters Tuesday night chanted out, "Jewish lives matter." By the way, Israel, in the nation of Israel, leading rabbis and the U.S. ambassador to Israel praying for President Donald Trump at the Western Wall, praying for his recovery early on. Okay, let's see. Also from FoxNews.com, President Trump Tuesday said he has fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents related to Russian investigation or the FBI's investigation into the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server, saying, "I have fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents pertaining to the single greatest political crime in American history, the Russia hoax. Likewise, the Hillary Clinton email scandal, no redactions," the president tweeted out Tuesday night. "All Russia hoax scandal information was declassified by me long ago," Trump tweeted out. Also, they report that the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, on Tuesday declassified documents that revealed former CIA Director John Brennan briefed former President Obama on Hillary Clinton's purported plan to tie then-candidate Donald Trump to Russia as a means of distracting the public from her use of a private email server ahead of the 2016 presidential election. He declassified Brennan's handwritten notes, which were taken after he briefed Obama on the intelligence of the CIA that they received, and a CIA memo which revealed that officials referred the matter to the FBI for potential investigative action. We understand that Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch filing a Freedom of Information Act to learn more on this issue. Oh, my, we're going to quickly pare down some of these stories because we'll be giving you opportunity as well to chime in on some of the news and issues of the day here today. Let's see. Planned Parenthood, the American Medical Association, is joining arms with Planned Planned Parenthood, file an appeals with the U.S. Supreme Court in an effort to overturn the new Health and Human Services rules that resulted in Planned Parenthood losing federal Title X funds. They're not happy about that. But why is the American Medical Association that boasts the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm, why would they be linking arms with Planned Parenthood? Why would they be doing that when abortion is fatal, when abortion always has a victim? Okay, Planned Parenthood president, protecting abortion is the fight of this generation. By the way, a huge number of this millennial and Gen Z generation has been killed by abortions since the Roe v. Wade decision. And now she's saying that protecting abortion is a fight of this generation. There's a number of people missing from this generation who would like to participate in this fight are prohibited from doing so because their life has been taken. A few more stories right after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Scripture says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're reminded from Genesis that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Christ also spoke of impending wars, ethnic conflicts, spiritual deception, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. It sounds like today's newspaper headlines, yet many people are oblivious to the times in which we are living. In the book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Dr. Gary Fraser presents future events that will shake the world. He writes of the Great Disappearing, America in Prophecy, the birth of the New World Order, the Islamic invasion of Israel, the Great Deceiver, a global religion, the temple rebuilt, the mark, and the glorious appearing. The book presents both a message of hope to those who know Christ as Savior, as well as a message of warning to those who do not. It Could Happen Tomorrow is available for a donation of $15 or two copies for a donation of $25 by calling BCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. You know, we did this program on voter fraud this week, and now being reported by NBCNewYork.com. A U.S. Postal Service mail carrier from Hudson County, New Jersey, arrested. For why? Because of being allegedly discarding mail, including 99 general election ballots sent from the County Board of Elections that were intended to be delivered to West Orange residents. That was an announcement from the U.S. Attorney Craig Carpenito. Interesting indeed. Kentucky. Students in a Kentucky school district will no longer be allowed to present prayers during graduation ceremonies after the Freedom From Religion Foundation recently wrote to the district to state that the practice violates the principle of government neutrality toward religion, reports ChristianNews.net. They sent a letter in August after being informed by a concerned citizen that the July graduation for Pikeville High School included three Christian prayers with a remark on the war on the Christian faith. Interesting indeed. No prayer at graduation. Oh, there was a school shooting. God, where were you? Ammunition manufacturers in the U.S. are struggling mightily to keep up with increased demand. The National Rifle Association news outlet Shooting Illustrated reports that the current ammunition shortage may continue at least until 2021, perhaps longer. Uncertain times in 2020 have driven an increased desire to own guns, and hence the ammunition needed to those weapons. Increased gun and ammunition sales were initially fueled by uncertainty regarding COVID-19. And now the growing unrest starting in Minneapolis and one Scottsdale, Arizona-based ammunition manufacturer, Ammo Incorporated, is currently facing an $80.1 million backlog in orders despite working around the clock. Two justices came out. The U.S. Supreme Court just came back in session, and now on the what a jolt from two conservative justices on the court saying that the Obergefell decision that brought about same-sex marriage wrongly decided, and that both Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel Alito underscore the importance of bringing a case back that would challenge Obergefell. Very interesting case indeed. And by the way, Governor Newsom in California on Monday appointed Martin Jenkins to the California Supreme Court. And according to the Los Angeles Times, Newsom named the first openly gay justice to the court. First open homosexual justice to the California Supreme Court. Let's open some phone lines. If you'd like to comment on the debate last evening, if you want to comment on one of these stories that we brought before you here today or other current event news, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Netflix has now been indicted in Texas over the Cuties film, sexualizing children. And also, very interesting, we received an email yesterday from Department of Homeland Security indicating that both DHS and ICE announced the conclusion to a week-long targeted enforcement operation that resulted in the apprehension of over 125 at-large aliens across the state of California, where sanctuary policies have largely prohibited the cooperation of law enforcement agencies in the arrest of criminal aliens. The enforcement actions that took place September 18th through October 3rd targeted aliens subject to removal that had been arrested for crimes but were released by state or local law enforcement agencies despite having active immigration detainers in place. Over 95% of those aliens arrested had criminal convictions or pending criminal charges at the time of arrest. Just in Los Angeles alone, officers arrested nearly 100 unlawfully present individuals with criminal histories that include homicide, sexual assault, sex crimes involving children, assault, robbery, domestic violence, DUI, and guess what? Yeah, but when they have these detainers on them, the cities and local mayors and so forth saying we will not cooperate in detaining such individuals. Let's go to the phone lines today. Again, if you'd like to comment on the matter pertaining to the debate last evening or some of these stories here today or current news events, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Fred in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Ask if the go to court over Roe v. Wade to get it overturned, the federal law, then will it bounce back to the individual states so that you have to start all over again, but in each state trying to get the legislatures to remove that law?
Yeah, Fred, it does. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, it would go back to the states. But many states, including the state you are from, has the law on the books that bans abortion. So if that would happen in your state, that would automatically be banned. Other states would have to start the process over. And this is why there are states, like they just did, what was it, in New York and some other places that had prohibitions against abortion. They have struck those down, saying, oh, those are just old, archaic, you know, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. And so therefore, some state legislatures have been active in striking those things down so that they could continue with the baby killing in their state, even if Roe v. Wade were overturned.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Missouri. Pastor Mark, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. I really like Vice President Pence. I think he's a good man, and I believe he's a brother in Christ. I thought you said earlier that he had mentioned that he was unapologetically opposed to abortion. Is that correct?
I have to look up the exact quote from the story here, Pastor Mark. But go ahead with your comment.
Yeah. Well, I hope that our we as listeners, believers, we don't preface the fact that abortion is murder with I unapologetically oppose abortion. Abortion's murder. We have nothing to even hint at. There could be an apology for standing for life. And like I said, I just think that it was mentioned by the vice president that he said he was unapologetically opposed to abortion. We need to be adamant. Abortion is murder. And it needs to be.
Yeah, he said, I couldn't be more proud to serve as vice president to a president who stands unapologetically for the sanctity of human life. So he said that comment in regard to the president himself.
Okay. Yeah, and my point is, whether it's a president or not, and right, it was the president then, we don't have anything to even hint at apologizing about. We are pro-life, anti-murder, and I just want us to just be dogmatic about that in everything we communicate.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to David in Hillsboro, Illinois. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Jim. Nancy Pelosi is thinking of pulling out the old 25th Amendment on the fitness of the challenge the fitness of the president to serve in his position. Tomorrow on Rush Limbaugh, the president is going to host a three-hour kind of like a virtual town hall where he's going to be taking questions and talking to people. So if anybody wants to know about the fitness of President Trump to serve as president, if they tune into Rush.
Okay, thank you. Got your point here, David. What you're saying is he's got the stamina and the ability to do that. Thank you. Katie in Fremont, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, thank you for taking my call, and I love your program. My question is, like those earlier in your program when you had those comments or answers given by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, all the different issues, is there any way that those can get out to the general public nationwide, those exact, you know, excerpts and things that they said?
Yeah, they're out there on the net. I mean, or you send links to this program, people will hear it in that regard, or they're out there. You can go to YouTube and do a search on those issues, such as on fracking, Kamala Harris fracking, Joe Biden fracking, or as it relates to, you know, whatever issue it is, those clips are readily available.
Okay, I guess the people that are in support of them, I guess they probably won't want to hear it unless it's right in their face, you know, and I just wonder how we can get it out there more, but okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Have a couple open lines, 800-733-9829. Kimberly is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up a conversation and a question that seems to be happening with currently the election that we are facing, and it is about abortion. And a lot of the conversations in community right now, even in my church community and even, you know, in my non-church community, are if you are, you know, how you can be against abortion and be fighting for the lives of abortion, but not be fighting for the lives of those being killed through Black Lives Matter movements or even through war and things across the world. And I just wanted to hear what your response is from that, because I feel like that's such a tough conversation.
Yeah, thank you for the call here and also the question. Certainly it is the taking of innocent human life, and that's what Scripture says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, is how that is rendered as coming from the Ten Commandments. And even in God's Word, we have the institution of capital punishment coming forth. We also have the whole issue of self-defense, as the officer in many of these cases have felt threatened by guns. I'm not talking about any one particular situation at this point, but in general, when one is feel threatened, when a gun is pointed at them, ready to shoot, or has shot, missed, or whatever, and a shot is fired back from that officer, that aspect of self-defense, we've did a whole program on Crosstalk here just on the Bible and self-defense. And you go to crosstalkamerica.com and put in self-defense there in the search engine, you'll find that out in that regard. Certainly the taking of innocent human life is the issue that we are talking about, and the taking of life wrongfully is also part of this as well. Yes, the whole issue of war is necessary as well. Not all wars, but there are just wars that take place that is sanctioned as well for the protection of the peoples of a nation as well. So it does all come together. That whole issue is probably a full program in itself. We've dealt with different aspects of that question here, but thank you for raising it here today. But certainly the care for life after birth is also critically important, and that's why there are so many Christian agencies that have been raised up even in that regard, and the role of the church in that regard as well. Mike is calling next in Waukesha. You're on the air, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Something that really kind of stood out to me last night, and nothing got discussed on it further, and it was just kind of buried a little bit, was, and I guess maybe there wasn't going to be a follow-up because of the moderator and so on, but when they were kind of discussing Mike Pence's faith, you know, he's a Christian, follows Christ, etc. And Kamala Harris came back and said, well, I'm a person of faith too, and so is Joe Biden. And, you know, the follow-up question there is, what's your faith in? Is it faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is it faith in witchcraft? Is it faith in being an atheist? There's all kinds of faiths out there. I think the new litmus test, Jim, is that for Democrats in particular, is you can say you're a person of faith, but you're going to say no more. And that's what this country is going to be following once these people get into office. Any faith goes, it's going to be a blended mix, and we know where that's going to head for our country.
Thank you, Mike, for your thoughts. Up against a break, back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many Americans see what's happening in the street as a single issue. It's not just anarchist, Marxist, agitators, Black Lives Matter protesters, and rioters in the streets. It's highly organized by enemies within and enemies without. It is overwhelmingly documented that Black Lives Matter is tied back to pro-Maoist Chinese groups. It's documented that one of their founders, well, admires greatly the dictator, the Marxist dictator of Venezuela. One of them has been mentored for 10 years, it's reported, by Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, who, again, praised the Maoist Communist Chinese. Freedom Road Socialist Organization is a Maoist Communist Chinese front group. We have pressure from above with politicians that are Marxist in their worldview, pressure from below at the street level, enemies without and enemies within. It's all leading to a great conflict.
just took a moment here to visit a website, gotquestions.org, and they've got many pages on the whole issue of just war. What is a just war? And they share under the five main requirements of a just war. They've got scripture there as well. And if you'd like to examine that further as you talk, you're interacting with other people, both in religious and non-religious circles, go to gotquestions.org, and they've got a full review on that whole aspect of just war, a just war. Thank you for the call. Our number here, 800-733-9829 to Superior, Wisconsin. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think that if Biden gets elected and the Democrats take over Congress, will they take the word God out of "In God We Trust" on our currency, or will they be swearing in the president without a Bible anymore, and will they take that word out of the Pledge of Allegiance, do you think?
Well, they could do any of those things legislatively, like seek to remove it. I mean, these cases have gone up to the U.S. Supreme Court. In the U.S. Supreme Court, atheist groups have done so, and they have the Supreme Court has turned them back. If they change laws or they enact that, I think that would be a new dynamic there. But we have to keep, you know, and two of the caucus groups that met for the Democratic National Convention, that is both the Islamic group that met as well as the LGBT group that met, both of them removed the words "under God" in the pledge as they began their caucuses, official parts of the Democratic National Convention.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Let's see. Brad in Ironwood, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yeah, I would just want to comment on Governor Whitmore from Michigan. She seems to think that she got a 21-day window, then she hands it over to the health department to enforce the everything, and I just don't understand how she can do this and no one brings up any questions on where she gets the authority.
And I'm sure it's going to go right back to the Supreme Court in Michigan. That would be my hunch anyways, because they stopped her last orders, and she's now issued a new order saying, no, they didn't bring up the Spanish flu legislation that was created during that time. So, yeah, there's going to be some legal wrangling going on in your state for a bit, but it shows you to what end she is willing to go to enforce her mandates.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Mary in Ohio, you're on the air.
Concerning Mike Pence's pink eye, they were picking on him. Well, what about the other one that was blinking her eyes?
Well,
Every time I tried to concentrate, I saw her blinking her eyes, but no comments on that.
Well, okay. Of course, you've been talking about liberal commentators and all of that, and don't know what, you know, the issue was with the eye, and there's a whole the blogosphere going wild as well with the fly that landed on the head. You know, we talk about substance issues and these means of, you know, poking and calling attack tells us that people are not really wanting to deal with the substance of what was discussed last night. Thank you, Mary.
Okay, bye.
John in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I have to disagree with the gentleman that said he thought Joe Biden was a man of God, because I saw something on YouTube just the other day that somehow slipped out, where he took a bribe from somebody for to do something for him for $1 million, and he was in a room talking to some other guys, and he said he did it for him, and then the guy quit. So he didn't get his mind on.
Yeah,
I don't trust.
I really don't care to get into all of that aspect here, but I'll just say this, that it was a comment that Kamala Harris made last evening pertaining to him being a religious man as well, because of that was in reference to Mike Pence and his stand for life, etc. But certainly there are many things that are called into question, and it's troubling to rationalize how you can kill a little innocent baby in the womb and declare yourself to be a religious person. That's why the person said, you know, what's your religion? You know, who are you devoted to?
Yeah, I'm devoted to God. Yeah. I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, John.
You bet. Thank you.
We've got Gary calling in from Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air, Gary.
Yeah, I saw something
she made a remark about faith and all that during one of her loquacious mounds of gibberish, and she says that the Democratic Party recognizes the rights of people of faith, and how about what's going on in California and across this nation and around the world that Christians are specifically, and Jews too, being targeted for their institutions and as individuals. Those are ex post facto laws, and those are not permitted in this country. The other is that the white Christians are the cause of fires. That's the same mentality that Nero had when he was setting Rome on fire.
Yeah.
And that's a racist. That's a really racist remark. Thank you.
Thank you for your call here today, Gary. Certainly a lot of troubling issues that are going on, and I appreciate your discernment in knowing and hearing those things. And friends, we do have to be discerning in such times in which we live. The matters that are going on in this political campaign, there's a lot of rhetoric going back and forth, a lot of issues that are going on that's coming from the House and the Senate. I'll be praying regarding the confirmation hearings that are set to start this Monday before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Amy Coney Barrett. You're going to see attacks on her religion come fast and furious, and they came during the last confirmation hearing that she went through. They're going to come up once again, and you're going to see a lot of discussion in that regard. But friends, we need to be steadfast and be bold and declarative. I stand for life. I stand for life, the sanctity of human life. I recognize what God has said in His Word, that He created male and female, recognizing that indeed that there is marriages between a man and a woman, as God has declared it. We don't need to shy away from those things, but to speak the truth in love, to be bold. And by all means, we need to preach the Word, don't we? 2 Timothy warns about in the last days perilous times will come. And all that was going to transpire, and Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, because the time would come that men would not endure sound doctrine, but they'd heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Folks, we need to stand for the truth. We need to proclaim the truth of God's word. Our time is gone. Thanks for listening today on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.